Today's scripture reading comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 to 6. Praise to be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces you in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to see you here today. To my Cantonese-speaking friends, here we go. Are you ready? Josan, Josan. How'd I do? Did I get it? Yep, good. I'm learning a little, you know, just a little. It's so good to be here today, and I'm very excited to hear some good news about a new pastor for the English ministry. And that's been an answer to prayer. So thank you for God's goodness to our churches, Lord. Thank you that you care for us. And there's many churches looking for pastors, many churches looking for people to serve right now. COVID has had its effects on us all. And so we are praying for churches all over British Columbia who are looking for pastors to serve. I know one church up in northern BC has been looking for a lead pastor for over 24 months. And we need to just continue to ask God to raise up new leaders and new pastors and provide for the ministries of the church. And it's good to see so many of you here today. And I know there's people watching online as well. I would like to say to people watching online, and I say this in a lot of the different churches that I go to speak at, is if you've kind of gotten into the habit of just coming to church by being online, come on back. We'd love to see you. Get to know people again and enjoy fellowship with one another. It's a good thing to do along the way. I'd like to start with a story from when I was a teenager. My mother was extremely happy when I got my driver's license. I'm embarrassed to say I had to try three times. I failed twice before finally passing my driver's test. And all my friends made fun of me. You can't pass your driver's test. And my mother was so thrilled when I got my driver's license. And I want to tell you the reason why. My mother loved to have people into our home and offer them hospitality and to give them food and to welcome them. She always wanted to have people come to the house. Our house was like a train station, always people coming and going, and we had an open door. She said to us kids, I had two older sisters, myself, you can bring your friends over for supper anytime you like. You can bring your friends over in the evening. It's okay, we'll get food for them. Just open the door. She was just a person who loved to have people into the house. And in fact, if we didn't have people over to our home for a while, she'd kind of get a little bit nervous, like, nah, something's wrong. We need to have some people over. That'll make things feel right again. She was really big on hospitality. And my mother found out, I grew up in Regina. She found out about a bakery that was right beside the grocery store where we used to go shopping. It was a great bakery. I love going in there. I love a bakery anywhere. Bakeries are bad for me. I could stop at every one. And she found out that you could get on a list at that bakery. And at the end of the day, the bakery would call you. And you had to come and buy everything left in the store. You had to take everything, whatever had not sold in the bakery that day, you had to come buy it all. And you got it for half price, the whole thing. So whatever they had, you would come and get it. I remember one time they called us to come and get everything in the bakery. They had a wedding cake that somebody didn't pick up. And My mom bought a big deep freeze and she got all this baking. They call us about once every 3 months and I would go with the car. That's why she was happy I got a driver's license. She could send me to the bakery, fill the car up with all the baking. And she'd say, eat anything you want while you're driving home. Just okay. Help yourself. And I'd be driving to the bakery with a big smile on my face and eating donuts and everything coming home. And then we would unload all the baking that was in the car and put it in the deep freeze. So when anybody came over, open the freezer up, pull some baking out, let it warm up a little bit, put it in the oven, no microwaves back in those days. And there we had ready-made snacks and food and all kinds of things like that along the way. Now, from time to time, we would get pies. Really love pie, especially certain kinds of pie. One of my favorite pies is lemon pie. Anybody here a lemon pie lover like me? Nobody would admit. I see a couple of hands. Come on, there's more of you like lemon pie than just three or four here. You're just not saying. God knows who likes lemon pie. And once in a while, there would be one piece of pie left in the plate in our family. Oh no, only one piece of pie left. Five people sitting around the supper table. One extra piece of pie. What would we do? What would we do? My sister, well, let's just split it up. Everybody gets a little bit. No, no, let's play rock, paper, scissors. Somebody can win the piece of pie. No, no, you have it. No, 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 you have it. No, 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 you have it. You take it. It's okay. I don't really want it. You know, always being very polite. Once in a while, my dad would say, let's just save it for later. And then the next morning, we'd come downstairs. It was gone. We have moments in life where there's one piece of pie left in the plate. And I want to talk about what I call last piece of pie moments as it relates to our spiritual life. And some of you are probably saying, Jerry, you are making a very big stretch here. I don't see how in the world one piece of pie left in a plate has anything to do with our spiritual journey. Well, bear with me. Just hang in there. Hopefully this will come together and make sense. Most churches I know of love to have fellowship events. And lots of good food. It's part of church life. It almost is like our DNA. So I think talking about food and the spiritual life, there are some analogies there. And there's lots of references to that in scripture along the way. The big idea comes from a statement that the Apostle Paul says in Acts chapter 20, verse 35. He says, this is a quote from Jesus. I'm quoting Jesus here as I say this. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, it's interesting. The Apostle Paul quotes Jesus there, but we don't find that quote anywhere in the Gospels. We don't find that Jesus, it's recorded that Jesus said that, but it obviously was an oral tradition that Christians knew Jesus must have said, because Paul quotes it, and he uses a word, blessed, and it's an interesting word. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Blessed was a word that was actually used in poetry, and it was used to describe a state of mind and heart, and it was used to describe a kind of happiness, a sense of contentment, of a sense of fulfillment and satisfaction, a sense of inner peacefulness. When that word blessed is used, it's used to describe an inner quality of especially contentment and fulfillment. It's more fulfilling to give than to receive. It's more satisfying to give than to receive. It's more meaningful to give than to receive. That's the idea. It's not about, you know, material things. It's not Jesus saying, well, you know, if you give away, you'll get more material things and be happier that way. It's more about a matter of the heart. Now let's take this idea and go just a little bit deeper as we think about this. And you know, in our Western thinking, we often say, well, if A is true, then B is not true. So we need to be careful here with what it says. It doesn't mean only if you give, you're blessed, but if you receive, you're not blessed. It's not saying that. It's comparative as opposed to contrasting. It's saying it is more blessed to give, but it is still blessed to receive. They're both a blessing, but one is greater than the other. And the text that we've read today, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 to 6, takes us deeper into why this is true and how it works in our spiritual lives to bring us closer and deeper in our relationship with God. I talk to people about their spiritual lives. They like to talk about that sometimes and ask questions. And one of the questions I get asked is, how come God feels far away? How come my experience with God all feels like something just in my head? It's just an idea. It's a concept, but it doesn't feel deep. It doesn't feel meaningful. It doesn't feel real. It feels mechanical. It doesn't feel like something that's happening in the heart. How is my experience of God so kind of just functional, and the relationship with God doesn't seem to have much depth or meaning or substance to it? How can that change? What we're going to look at today is part of how our relationship with God can go to a richer, more personal, meaningful experience in our spiritual lives. I'm going to read the text again. I'm going to read it from Eugene Peterson's a transliteration of the Bible, The Message. And he says it this way. I like the way it states here. All praise to God, the good Father of our Master, Jesus, the Messiah. The Father of all mercy. The God of healing counsel. He comes alongside us when we go through hard times. And before you know it, he brings us alongside someone else who is going through hard times so that we can be there for that person just as God was there for us. The idea here is that we can praise God with a very good truth and some meaningful insights about who God actually is in his very nature, his very essence, his very character. The Father of compassion, the originator of compassion, the creator of compassion. Compassion is something that God himself has put into this world, put into our lives, put into the universe, because God himself is the God of love and compassion, the God of all comfort. Now, we need to keep in mind the context of when this was said in 2 Corinthians, because if you read through the book of 2 Corinthians, it's basically a book about the Apostle Paul describing all the hardships he's had in his life. It's actually, he's pretty transparent in this book about the struggles he's had and the disappointments and the hardships he's had as an apostle of Christ and the difficulties. And sometimes he really complains in this book. There's been more than one discouraged pastor who has gone to 2 Corinthians to commiserate with the Apostle Paul and say, yeah, serving God sometimes is hard and disappointing and discouraging. And they read and say, oh, I'm not the only one. And they take a little comfort in that. But Paul starts out the book by saying, I know what I'm going to be talking about, a lot of hard things in my life, but I want to start with the fundamental core truth. God is the God of all comfort, the God of compassion. In hard times, he comforts me. And I can comfort others with that same comfort. That's the big theme that starts this book off and starts the ideas behind it. It's a very personal description. of the struggles. So there's two big concepts, two big ideas here that I would like us to keep in mind as we consider this morning. Number one, it's pretty clear. God of all comfort comforts us in all of our troubles. So those are two pretty big words, all comfort, all of our troubles. God is a compassionate God and a very personal God who knows each one of us by name. God knows your name. God knows your life. God knows my name. God knows my life. God knows everything that's ever happened to me. Psalm 139 says that even before a word is on my lips, God already knows what I'm going to say or think. God is very personal to each one of us. He is interested in us as individual people, and he does comfort us in our troubles. Sometimes the troubles we have in life are so big, so overwhelming, so powerful, so full of power to grab all of our attention. Sometimes we miss seeing and feeling and experience God's comfort because we're so focused on the pain and the disappointment and the heartache and the trouble that we miss out on that. It is blessed to receive comfort from God. It is important for us to receive comfort from God. And you know, it's good for us to reflect on times in our lives when we can look back and we can see how God comforted us in hard times. It's good for us to remember that when we face the next difficulty that we have in life. I remember reading this as a young man, and I was counseling at a wilderness camp out in Alberta, out in the Rocky Mountains. And we had all kinds of young teenage boys who came to that camp, and most of them had been having a very hard time in life. Many of them came from difficult circumstances, and most of them had been gotten in trouble with the law. And they came to this wilderness camp to get away from all the heartaches and the struggles, and to be put in an environment which was very different than what they were used to, out of their element. And we would take them on these wilderness hikes into the Rocky Mountains in wild, rugged country with backpacks. And a bus would drop us off at a spot, and they'd give us a map and say, here you are. In 4 days, we'll pick you up 20 miles over here. So you got to get there in 4 days. Don't get eaten by a bear. Good luck. God bless you. And away they go. And I was a young man. I love the outdoors. I love camping. I love the wilderness. And I got some training. And there I was leading a group of 6 or 7 boys, most of them who were pretty tough and bewildered out in this wilderness area. And one night, while I was leading those boys, one of the boys got badly injured. He fell off of a cliff. And we thought he was going to die. And it was 10 o'clock at night, and we were halfway through our hike between two places. And I was responsible. And it was a terrible situation. And I remembered, said in James chapter 1, if anyone is in trouble, let him ask of God, who gives wisdom to all. And I stood there. And we were with that boy, and we had a little first aid kit, and he was in bad shape. And I said, God, this boy's going to die, and it will be my fault. What should I do? What should I do? And just like that, a plan came into my mind about what we should do to address that problem. And there was one of the boys there who, believe it or not, had taken a first aid course. Didn't make sense. He said, I took some first aid. I think we've got to stop the bleeding from some of these bad cuts that he's got and just keep him still and keep him warm. And I said to those boys, you keep them here. Don't let them move. Build up huge fire, because there was a valley and a highway across the other side. And I took one of the boys with me, and we covered 10 miles in 2 hours, 3 hours at nighttime. And we got to a bridge on the river, and guess what? There were some people there camping with the van. And they were still up at 2 o'clock in the morning. And I told them what had happened. Now remember, you'll have to take this by faith. This is in the days when there was no such thing as a cell phone. Didn't exist. They drove us in a van to a construction site down the highway where there was a pay phone. And we got on the phone and we phoned. I didn't have any money, and I phoned the operator and said what had happened. And she put me through, and I got back to the camp, and they came, the people at the camp came out with vehicles. They phoned for a rescue helicopter, but it was out rescuing some other people who had fallen off a mountain somewhere. And they said, we have to come and rescue this boy ourselves. And they came. And by the time they got to us, it was 5 o'clock in the morning. The sun was coming up. And I wondered, what are we going to find out when we get back to that spot? And they brought canoes. And we went down with canoes and we crossed the river. And there the boys were with the big fire. And we found the boy, and he was still alive. And they put him, the camp nurse was there, and they put him in the canoe, and they took him back and carried him up to the hills and took him all the way to the hospital at Rocky Mountain House. And he lived. And in that moment, I realized, in a way that I had never really experienced in my life ever before as a Christian, I realized God heard my prayer, that he cared about me and the boys I was looking after. And he is a God of all comfort in our hard times. And it's real and it's powerful. And my relationship with God went from a lot of head to a tremendous amount of heart through that experience. I'm sure other people could tell stories like this. That would be, here's a time God really comforted me. And in fact, if you ever have services where people can give testimonies, that's a good theme. Share times when God really comforted you. Now, a meaningful spiritual discipline in our lives is that when we are in hard times, is to say, I know I'm going through a terribly difficult time right now, and it's painful, and I want it to go away, and I don't know what to do, and I'm tired and exhausted and discouraged and angry and upset and fearful and worried, and I can't sleep. And I mean, all those things go on in our lives. Is to say, but hang on. I am going to pay attention to God and how he will comfort me. I'm going to cry out for comfort. I'm going to cry out for help, yes. But I'm also going to pay attention to when that happens, and I'm going to take note of it. I'm going to enjoy it, be blessed by it, and wait upon the Lord. Isaiah 40, those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. Big idea number one, God comforts us in our troubles. The big idea number two is that what we have received from God is actually a calling to share the comfort we receive with God with others. God comforts us for two purposes, not one, two. God comforts us to help us in our struggles. Praise be to the God, the Father of compassion, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who comforts us in all our troubles. Yes, love it. But there's more. So, it says, that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. It's the nature of God to be generous. And when he comforts us, he gives us more comfort than what we need for ourselves. He gives comfort to us and then gives extra for us to use to comfort other people. God's comfort is always more than just for us. That's why it says in Ephesians 3:20, God does abundantly more than we can ask or imagine. Story is told of a little boy who went to school. It's a little guy, timid, not very outgoing, not very big. And he was having trouble at school. Other kids would pick on him and tease him and give him a hard time. And he didn't like going to school. And he dreaded recess time. And it was just hard for him. And he would say in the morning, "Mom, I don't want to go to school. They pick on me at school and I don't like it." And so his mom started packing an extra sandwich in his lunchbox every day. And she said to him, "When you have your lunch, look around for anybody who doesn't have lunch." Because some of the kids came to school, sadly, they didn't have lunch. And so he would open his lunchbox and he would pull out an extra sandwich and he'd look around and he'd go to somebody who didn't have lunch and say, "Here's a sandwich for you." Every day. An apple, whatever treats. His mom kept giving him an extra to give away. And it didn't take long till his class started to see him very differently than this timid little boy to be picked on, but this caring, compassionate boy who brought extra food for lunch. And when lunchtime came, all of a sudden, kids were all wanting to sit beside him for lunch, and he made some friends, and things worked out for him. That's what God does to us. Now, here's where the piece of pie comes in. You're wondering, what about this pie, Jerry? Come on, where's the pie in this? If comfort was pie, God always gives us an extra piece. If comfort was pie, God always gives us an extra piece. So we have some for ourselves and some for another. That's the way God works with comfort. The giving away of the extra, the giving away of the comfort that God gives to us to another is more blessed than even the comfort we've received for ourselves. There is something in the spiritual reality of God's working in our lives where he says, receiving comfort from me is good. Receiving comfort from me and then giving to another who needs it is even better. In fact, God would say it this way: if you receive comfort from me and you just keep it to yourself, it's not going to be as meaningful and powerful as if you receive from me and share it with someone else who needs comfort as well. And it's this business of receiving and then giving, of taking that extra piece of pie of comfort and comforting someone else's, that deepens our experience of God's love, grace, presence, reality, his person in our lives. It is part of the spiritual discipline of growing deeper in our walk with God. So not only do we ask God to comfort us, here's a spiritual discipline to practice that deepens our relationship with God in a very profound way. God, comfort me, please. I'm in trouble. I need your help. And God, give me enough that I can also comfort somebody else. I am not the end in this. I'm not even the main person in this. You're the main person. You're going to give to me what I need, but you're also going to give me the opportunity to be even more blessed by giving to another and reaching out to them and caring for them. I want to ask a very personal and somewhat challenging question right now. And it's a good question for us to ask ourselves. When was the last time I intentionally reached out to comfort somebody else? It's an important part of our spiritual journey. The ongoing discipline of seeking and receiving comfort from God and then sharing that with others is a very profound way to experience God's presence in our lives and, of course, help someone else. So I put my sermon into one sentence. I think you probably have heard me enough times to know now that I like to have what I call the sermon in a sentence. And here's where it all fits together. I think you may not agree, but works for me. Being comforted by God and sharing that comfort with others renews our spiritual vitality. Giving away that second piece of pie to someone else, the comfort of God to others, renews us spiritually. And if we're feeling spiritually dull, lethargic, indifferent, apathetic, ambivalent, if we're feeling spiritually lethargic, if doubts are creeping in, if we're getting kind of narcissistic and self-focused, if all of this is going on in our spiritual life is kind of in the doldrums, one of the ways to break that and get life again in our spiritual life, say, God, please comfort me, but use me to comfort another and change how we see why we go through such hard times. This need to be comforted by God and to be comforters for God is something that I think is a desperate need in the world in which we live right now. It seems like in the last decade, selfishness and indifference and callousness and put downs and laughing at others problems and not caring about anybody else except myself and maybe a few close friends. It seems like the world has become harder and much more harsh and unkind in the past decade. It seems like there's more of that than there's been in times gone past. Maybe that's just me. Life has a way of beating us all up, and some of you are sitting here this morning very beaten up, I'm sure of that, and needing to be comforted by God. And many of the Psalms are cries and expressions of this pain. The question we can wrestle with this morning is, am I embracing not only the comfort of God, but also the call of God to give it to others of need? How am I doing in the discovery of it is more blessed to give than to receive? When you get home, find a post-it note and a Sharpie and write that on a post-it note. It is more blessed to give than to receive, and stick them up in different places to remind us that this is what Jesus said. This is a deep part of our spiritual experience. As Christians in the culture in which we live, what do we want to be known for? Here's what Jesus said. Let's trade the word comfort into where Jesus used the word love. And I think they are simultaneous. They can be used together. Jesus said, "Let me give you a new command. Comfort one another. In the same way I have comforted you, comfort one another. This is how everyone will recognize that you are my disciples. When they see the comfort you have for each other." was in a conversation recently where people were talking about what their religion was, or what their belief system was, or what their values were. And, you know, here in the lower mainland, about half the people who live in the Vancouver region say, I have no religion, I have no spiritual things at all, I just have my own thing. Anyway, people were talking about what do they believe, and what their belief system is. And one of the people in the group said something that I just thought was beautiful. They said, my religion is kindness. And that's how I want to treat people. Jesus is saying, an essence of our spiritual journey and impact in other people is how we comfort others with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. This is how people recognize we are Christ's disciples and makes an impact on their lives. God is calling us to experience it and be blessed by that, and then to give it away and be even more blessed by that. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Would you pray with me? Our loving God, our Savior Jesus, and our Comforter, Holy Spirit, we confess freely that there are so many times in life when we need your comfort in our lives. You know, Lord, you experienced everything on this earth that we experience. You are a great high priest, and you understand all the sufferings and struggles we go through, that there are times we are desperate for the comfort of the Holy Spirit of God in our lives. And we thank you that you are the God of all comfort. Help us to remember this, and thank you that we can cry out to you over and over and over and over again for your comfort in our lives, and you never say, are you here again? Quit bothering me. You never say that. You are generous. You are the God of all comfort. And God, you comfort us not only for our benefit, but you have said, when you comfort us, you give us enough to share with others. You give us what we need to comfort others with the comfort we've received from you. May we live our lives in such a way that this is a deep, deep part of our faith journey and our faith walk as individuals. And may we live our lives in such a way that this, in fact, profoundly influences the lives of others for good. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to experience it is more blessed to give than receive on a daily basis. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Jerry, for that message.